The title of my sermon today would be Jesus Proves His Invincible Authority. When I think about that word invincible, that means he has an authority that nobody can do anything about. He has an authority that surpasses anybody else's authority. What he says goes. We tell our children a lot of times when they're little, I know what I'm talking about and you better listen to me. You have authority. And you put authority in the words that you are telling that child. And they know that they better put a lid on it and pay attention to what you have to say. Someone once made the remark, it was a very profound statement about Jesus. This person said that all of the armies that ever marched on the face of the earth, all of the navies that were ever built, and all of the parliaments that ever sat and ruled, all of the kings that ever reigned anywhere on the earth, all of these powers put together have not affected the life of mankind as powerfully as that one solitary life of Jesus Christ. Now that means that the life of Jesus Christ had a humongous impact, not on the people 2,000 years ago. It did on them, but it has a humongous impact on us today, because we are serving an invincible Jesus. Yes, he was crucified. He was nailed to the cross, and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. But that grave could not hold him down. That invincible power of Almighty God brought him back to life. In the book of Mark, the authority of Christ is a major theme all the way through the book. Mark mentions the word authority 10 times in his writing. If you go on over and read in the book of Luke thought that the authority of Christ was pretty important too, because Luke mentioned it 16 times. If you will, turn to Mark, the first chapter, beginning with verse 21. And they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So many people today are afraid that religion as we know it will be strangled out or put to death, and that the soul of the human race will be destroyed. I can remember as a child hearing ministers preach about that the world's coming to an end. All of these dictators are going to take over the world. And if you really listened and thought about what they were saying, I can remember going home scared to death about all of these end time things that were supposed to happen. all of the dictators throughout the ages have had one major goal: to crush Christianity. They wanted to become the supreme being on the face of the earth, that every knee would bow down to them, that what they said went. They would have authority. But you know, not a single one of those dictators has ever succeeded. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. No dictator could overthrow that. Amen. Many people may have a measure of power, a measure of authority. But did you know that only Jesus Christ has the power to save us from our sins? Regardless of how powerful a person may be, Billy Graham can't save you from sin. David Jeremiah can't save you from sin. Joel Osteen can't save you from sin. Karen Alford can't save you from sin. Only Jesus Christ and His authority can save you from your sin. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." In going to school and in going to college, especially in my college education, there was a tremendous amount of emphasis that was placed on verbal and nonverbal communication. And I want us to look at the life of Jesus during this Lenten season. And let's examine Jesus' verbal communication. Now, Jesus spoke with authority, as we see in Mark's account of Jesus healing the man with the unclean spirit. Jesus spoke the word, "Come out." And that unclean spirit had to leave. Jesus knew what he was talking about. He knew that he had the authority, that in his very words, all he had to do was speak. And nobody on the face of the earth has ever had that kind of authority in their voice. Nobody has ever had verbal communication with the authority that Jesus Christ did. Jesus spoke directly from his heart to your heart. To the hearts of the listeners there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spoke from his heart to their heart. He speaks from his heart to our hearts today, 2,000 years later. He speaks to us through his word. The scribes in the synagogue, in contrast, could only read their sermons, just like I'm reading this paragraph. The scribes, in contrast, could only read their sermons. They could only quote the law and the prophets. And these scribes spoke with what I like to call positional authority. I can speak to you with authority because of my position as pastor. You can speak to your children or to your co-workers, if you're a supervisor, with authority because of your position in their life. But whoever Jesus met, whatever circumstance he came up against, he had the authority to speak to that situation. Jesus verbally issued a challenge for his listeners to believe and to receive God's grace. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Luke 14:18 says that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised. You know, we're so blessed today that we have a Savior and a friend who has the authority to meet every need that we may ever face, regardless of what comes in our life. Yes, there are times that we feel like that God takes His own sweet time. But remember, it's God's time. And we have to put our faith and our trust in God. When my family and I came to Bethel almost a year ago now, we were greeted with love, and we were welcomed into a wonderful church family. And we have had numerous people over the months tell us that Bethel was a church that was full of love, that you could just walk in the door and feel the Spirit of God. You know, this is only possible when we put our faith and our trust in this invincible power of God that I'm talking about today. When we have faith, we have unity. Anytime that a need has come up involving anyone in the church, and sometimes people that do not attend Bethel, but they have a need, this congregation of people have rallied together and reached out to meet the needs of these people. And that's to be commended. You could not do this without the invincible power of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe whenever we do these things and we act under the anointing of this invincible power of Jesus, I can kind of visualize that Jesus is saying, Father, you see there? I told you that those people down there at Bethel was my children. See, I told you that they are mine. That my blood covers their life. And they're putting their trust in me. In a worldly sense, Jesus didn't have any power. He was not a worldly king that had all this political and military power. He was not a priest that had the power of the Roman priesthood. He was not even a scribe with the authority to conduct the traditional Jewish services. But what Jesus had was greater than all of these things. Jesus' authority was in the supreme confidence that He did and He said what was God's will and what was God's truth. His authority lay in the sheer power of His words and the example of His deeds. His authority lay in His living as God's servant. We have to act in faith and put our faith and our trust in this invincible power of Jesus Christ. You know, we could all save ourselves a lot of suffering if we would call this great physician the first time around. I'm a prime example. I have suffered. I have a problem with my feet and legs. But I also believe that God heals through medical science. We need doctors. We need nurses. And it's sad that when all else fails, we turn to Jesus. But because of Jesus Christ and that invincible power, today we can be delivered. We can have that peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Because of the authority of Christ, we're not paralyzed like the man that was let down through the roof of the ceiling. And Jesus spoke the word. says, your sins are forgiven. Well, all the ears perked up. He even has the authority to forgive sin. But Jesus looked past that man's suffering and him being a paralytic. He looked past all of that and he saw that the man was suffering in his soul. And that spiritual need had to be taken care of. So whether we have a spiritual need today or whether we have a physical need today, we can look past all of that and know that Jesus Christ has the invincible power to meet our needs, to heal us, and to forgive us of our sins. Let us pray. Loving Savior, we're so thankful because of your love, because of your grace, because of your invincible authority, that we can call on and know that any time, day or night, that you hear and you answer our prayers. Bless us, we pray, and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen.